Hi, and welcome to Open Mic. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Moorhead Mayor Laura White Brown. Laura, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You have been busy since we talked last month. The City Council of Moorhead has had a flurry of meetings in the last week or so, and I just wanted to go through those and kind of let people know exactly what's happening within city business. I know we follow those meetings and kind of keep people updated, but a little more in depth. Last week, you had a meeting about zoning ordinances within the city. I know a lot of people are always concerned when there's changes with zoning. The city has some pretty clear regulations, but let's go back a little bit and before we even get into what happened at the meeting and tell me what was the catalyst for this meeting? How did this conversation begin?
Well, again, thank you for having me again. It's been a very busy month, almost 2 months now, so we've jumped right in. The special call meeting between the Planning Commission and the City Council was to kind of update and review the city ordinances. Our ordinances were created in 1972, and they haven't really been updated since then. So we're really out of date and not kind of up with times like we need to be in regards to our city.
A lot changes in 40 years.
It does. It absolutely does.
So this committee that worked on these, going through these ordinances, were there, what kind of things did they recommend to the City Council?
There was a steering committee that was put together about a year and a half ago to review these ordinances and work with a consulting firm who specializes in helping cities do this. What that steering committee then did was come to this joint meeting with the Planning Commission and the City Council to make recommendations for changes. And all of those, it's about a 172-page document that they reviewed and kind of updated for us. From that conversation, what happened was there was a large discussion on density, and specifically in the downtown area. Some people are very in favor of increasing density so that we could have 3 or 4-story buildings in our main street zone. Other people don't feel that's necessary. So that's kind of the current topic that we're talking about and going to see what the steering committee comes back with to City Council from there.
Would that affect the discussion about the hotel? Because I know that there's a discussion about a hotel being put somewhere downtown, and that's not really something that a lot of people have talked about with the TIF district, because you can't really talk about those things prematurely.
Right.
But would that ordinance affect how big of a hotel one might build?
I think it depends on the type of business or building that you have. Some businesses have different ordinances versus residential ordinances. To my understanding, the hotel that could be coming would be maybe a 2-4-story building. So it could affect them. Just depends on what hotel that is and what they decide to do.
Right. But the density question is more focused on residences.
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Not so much businesses.
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. So is there anything that when they made these recommendations, the steering committee made the recommendations to the council, what's the process moving forward? Do we just make the changes and go, or what happens next?
At this point, the Planning Commission and City Council both had further suggestions for the steering committee to look at. So the steering committee will come back together with this consulting firm that's kind of guiding this process. They will include some additional topics like density to their discussion. They will come back and have a public hearing. That way, public can comment and give their input, and from there, the recommendations would go back to City Council where they would vote on these changes.
Okay. So we're still a ways away before changes are made.
We could be. They're going to try to put a public hearing together in the next couple of weeks. So depending on how quickly we can put that out there, we'll guide the rest of the process.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, we'll make sure that that gets announced as much as we can to share. You guys have a new Facebook page I saw.
We
where
do.
You're putting a lot of your notices, which is really helpful.
We do. And we started a new Facebook page more so to be compliant with public record information. So it's good to have kind of a clear separation when you have a new administration come in so that you can keep all of that information out and available to the public. Keeping people informed is something I really believe in, and social media is a good option to do that.
Mm-hmm. It is a good tool. You guys had a meeting earlier this week with a joint meeting with the City Council, the Fiscal Court, and the Tourism Commission. And all those people came together because all of those people are really invested in some things that are happening around MSU. I know our listeners remember that back in the 2018 legislative session, the governor's budget took away funding from the Kentucky Folk Art Center. And so Morehead State University has been really committed to trying to keep that for the community. And we've had a lot of community support for the Folk Art Center. The t-shirts are awesome. I really enjoy them. But if you, I know that that was part of the discussion. So tell me a little bit about what's happening with the Folk Art Center.
So at this joint meeting, what we did was there were kind of two topics, one being the Folk Art Center. And our discussion was, does the university have a long-term plan or a business plan for the additional funding that will come in the future for this center that will be needed? The city had allotted previously $25,000 into this fiscal year to contribute to funding the Folk Art Center. The county and the Tourism Commission did the same. We still have that money in our budget, and we will actually be issuing the university a check this week in that amount so that they can put that towards their operating expenses. The discussion was more focused on what is the university's plan with this building, this facility. Are they going to try to bring in an educational component or a curator to the museum to keep their museum status? I think a lot of these entities want to see a specific business plan, and some of us felt that that had not yet been presented. However, we know that this is a vital facility for tourism purposes, for history purposes, and we want to see it stay here. So we are committed to continuing our funding for this year and hopefully next year as well.
Okay. And I know that probably won't change until the state changes. I mean, because we'll have, you know, this legislative session, they're not talking about budgetary issues in Frankfort, but next year they will. So maybe things will be
right.
Then.
My understanding is that the hope is in the next budget cycle that funding can be restored to this facility. If it's not restored, I think we'll revisit this discussion and see where the center stands.
Right. Now, the Folk Art Center is a long, it's been in our community for quite some time. It has a lot of people who are supportive of it. The Friends group, there's a lot of people who have an invested interest within the Folk Art Center. But the other component of this meeting that you guys had was a brand new idea, which is the Laughlin Health Building here on the campus of Morehead State University. There had been a proposal or an idea, I guess, that the city, county, and tourism might go together, throw in to the pot in order to lease this building from the university. The university is only utilizing a small portion of it at this point, but it's a very large building. So tell me where we are. The last time you and I had talked, the fiscal court had tabled the issue, and it seemed like they were not going to be participating in this community partnership. So for the meeting, what was the purpose coming into that?
At the meeting, the first thing that happened was the county brought the subject back up so that they could discuss it again. So that allowed us all three to have an open dialogue about where we stand on this project. This was the first time that all three entities had come together to talk about it at the same table, which I think was very important. There was a lot of questions and a lot of information that we all needed. The city had allotted $75,000 this fiscal year to put towards the lease of the Laughlin Health Building. The county did not have that in their budget. Tourism had allotted $70,000 in their budget. We've come to find out that the cost would be much higher than $75,000 if all three entities went into it. To get us in the door, we would be paying a base lease, a parking fee, and the utilities for the building. And that would get us inside. But once you get inside the building, the cost really increases because anything that we want to do, any recreation, we're going to need supplies and equipment for. We're going to have to make updates to the building. We're going to have to buy additional equipment, but also employ people to staff the building, custodial maintenance for the building, and then also figure out who's going to run facilitate this building.
Mm-hmm.
And there's significant costs associated with all of those things.
I know that, you know, the base lease cost is really what Morehead State was kind of concerned with. Do you want it? Yes or no? Kind of an answer. But that question has not been answered yet.
Correct. So when we left the meeting yesterday evening, there were no decisions made. No action was taken. We continued the conversation in our regular city council meeting. And what has been proposed is that I will come up with some hard numbers and a business plan within the next 10 days and present that at another special called meeting for city council and follow up with the Board of Regents as well this month if there's any additional questions we may have for the university.
So let me back up before we talk a little bit about the business plan. There was a feasibility study that the city paid to have done. An outside group came in and talked and looked at the building and looked at a bunch of demographic issues and things that already currently go on in that building. And but I have yet to see the feasibility study just because I haven't asked for a copy yet. But tell me a little bit about what that group came up with to share with the city.
A consulting firm out of Chicago came in to do this feasibility study. They started on it last year, I believe maybe last summer is when they first came in to work on that. They had some preliminary findings that we received access to this past week, so we were able to review those. They also had a final analysis that was presented. What the study found is that if the city and county and tourism or whatever entities want to put money into this building, it has a good chance of prospering. The focus of that study was not on city recreation. The focus of that study was on bringing outside tournaments, traveling sports teams in to host tournaments within that building. And the point of that is it would bring people into this community. They may eat at our restaurants, buy gas here, stay in hotels here, which would help boost our local economy as well as our tourism here.
Mm-hmm. But you're talking about like indoor soccer leagues, basketball tournaments.
Correct. So the study referenced wrestling matches, basketball, volleyball. Those were kind of the three sports that it really emphasized on.
Okay. Now, That was the final results of that study.
Correct. So what the study said was if we do this at around year 4, we will break even and maybe start to bring in some revenue that we can put back into that facility. The first 3 years, we will be in the red, in the negative, as far as recouping money that's in that building.
Did it evaluate at all how much money you would have to put into it?
It did not. And so that's probably the biggest question for all of these groups is we know how much it costs to get us inside the building, but the additional cost, we don't have a hard number. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to go into a project not knowing, one, how much to budget for it, and we're getting ready to start a new budget cycle ourselves within the city, but also the unknown costs that can arise. For example, if the chiller goes out in that building, it's around $130,000 to replace it. That's a huge cost that we would be taking on. There's also a question about ADA compliance. Right now, the building is not up to code because there's not been a change of use in the building. So the question becomes, if we host recreation tournaments there, is that a change of use or is that still considered the same? What we wouldn't be able to do is any classes or any opportunity we allowed on the second floor of the building, we would also have to offer on the first floor because of accessibility of the second floor.
Right.
So that limits some of the things that you can do. The glass mirror room is on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't have something on that level unless we also offered it on the main level.
Right. Because there is no...
There's no mirrored room on the first floor.
But there's also no elevator.
There's no elevator, no.
Okay. so people can't get up there.
Correct.
Now, you talked about recreation a lot when you were running for office. I know that that's an important issue that you wanted to discuss. There are a lot of different things that the community has come forward over the years and said, recreation is important. Do you think that this project is the answer to the issue with recreation?
I heavily discussed recreation in the last year and recreation that serves all ages because I think it's something that this community really needs. I think the Laughlin Health Building is a fantastic building and there is great opportunity there. However, the question becomes, is it a fiscally responsible decision for the city and for taxpayers? My job is to be a good steward of taxpayer dollars, and I do not feel that this is a good use of taxpayer money because we don't know the cost of it. We could be hundreds of thousands of dollars into this building before we're ever able to be successful with it, and that worries me. It worries me more so because the city's priority right now is to build a new fire and police station, and those are two things that have significant cost associated with them. The money that we put into this building could go into those projects, which I think provides vital services to these community members. The other aspect of this is we don't know what our cost will be. So if we sign into this lease and get started, we could end up, like I said, hundreds of thousands of dollars over budget like we did with the splash pad project. We started with one number, but we never found out the hard numbers with the whole project. And so that really jeopardizes our flexibility within our fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Because at the beginning of the year, you say we have this much money. But last year, the last time with the budget, we had a $4 million, $4 million extra dollars that was not expected to be left over. It was left over from the year before.
Correct.
Going into this fiscal year. At this point, I mean, do we still have that excess? Is it like hanging out in the bank waiting for us to allocate where it goes, or what's going on with that?
So I'm glad you asked that because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding when people hear that we have a $4 million carryover. What that means is we did bring $4 million from last year and we put that into our operating expenses for this current fiscal year that we're in. So $3.9 million of that $4 million is budgeted to be spent in this fiscal year by the end of June. So if all of that money is spent as projected, we will have $100,000 left at the end of this year in carryover. That is not enough money to get us started next year. Now, there could be additional revenue that comes in, and we may have money in certain departments left over that we can also carry over this year. But as of right now, we're projected to have $100,000 left over from this budget.
And is that going to create a crisis?
It will certainly make things difficult to get started next year.
Okay. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
At Morehead State University Career Services, we partner with students, faculty, staff, and employers for the purpose of preparing MSU students for the global workforce. If you are looking for a full-time employee or student intern, we will work to connect you with qualified candidates. Attend our career fair on March 5th to find employees or career opportunities. Tuesday, March 5th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Adrian Doran University Center on MSU's campus. All of our programs are open to the community. Find out much more by calling 783-2233 or visiting moreheadstate.edu/career.
And we're back here on Open Mic. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Morehead Mayor Laura White-Brown. Laura, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Moving right along, you guys had your regular city council meeting Monday evening. Big agenda, lots of things to talk about. One of the old business items that you guys talked about was a resolution approving a lease agreement for recreational use of surplus school district property. I assume that's the property directly across from Walmart.
It is. So that's the community park that we historically have used for softball leagues, and there's a baseball field out there as well. That property is in a phase of sale with the school board. The school board owns that property. The city has leased that from them in the past to use for recreational fields. Since that property is being sold, we will be able to utilize it through June. After June, we'll have to see what property is left. The developer has expressed some interest that if there are fields left that are still available, they would be interested in deeding those back to the city for recreational use.
That's exciting.
That is. So hopefully we will see that come to fruition. They have signs up, but you may have seen them. They're going to call it the Shops at Collins Park. Mm-hmm. So they're starting kind of the finishing of that sale as well.
Excellent. The Shops at Collins Park. I'll be interested to see what shops those include.
Me too.
Very good. Now, moving on to new business. You guys had obviously a proclamation in support of the Kentucky Folk Arts Center. We already talked a little bit about that. You guys are committed to making sure that you guys are still supporting that part of that organization. And I know a lot of our listeners will be interested and glad to hear that. You did have some first readings of some ordinances which amended some code, Kentucky Code of Ordinances. Tell me a little bit about what those particular things went over.
The first reading that we did, what it is in regards to is when the city accepts privately owned streets into city property and we take those streets in, we are showing that we will put up street lights that are compliant with our current ordinances so that those streets that were once previously owned would have city street lights on them.
So, for example, if there was a property that once was just a driveway up to one house, if a development comes in and they build more houses or apartments or whatever, you guys will make sure that those...
Yes, work. Once the city starts maintaining those roads, we'll make sure it has the proper lighting needed.
I know that's really important for people as they look at the livability, especially downtown.
It's very important.
There's nothing worse than going up a dark road that you do not know well.
Correct.
I think that all of us who live in Kentucky know that experience. The second one, you guys talked a little bit about appointment of members for certain commissions.
Correct. So this is in reference to the Tourism Commission. Their current appointment dates end in December 10th. And so what we were doing was aligning the appointment dates with the tourism fiscal year so that you don't have people coming in and out in the middle of a fiscal year.
Because mm-hmm. really, people decide at the beginning of fiscal year, this is what our budget is, these are the projects.
Correct.
And if you switch people, sometimes that changes ideas.
Absolutely.
I know we've had a few stories that we've had to cover about ideas changing in the middle.
Sure.
That's tough. Okay, final ordinance that was read, the first reading, had to do with short-term rentals and transient room taxes.
So the state of Kentucky is working on a tax for Airbnb properties. So the city is kind of being proactive and going ahead to adopt this ordinance. We currently don't have any Airbnbs, but what we would be doing is once we do, if we gain them, then we would have a tax that would be in reference to them.
So
a hotel tax,
right?
Is what it's
because a lot
to.
Of times when you go to a hotel, you don't. It's all lumped together. You don't
right.
realize that you're paying a tax. All the taxes are together. You don't really know what all those are for.
Exactly.
I wondered about Airbnbs because a lot of cities, I think, are losing revenue because they are invested in hotels, but then they don't have – there's a lot of Airbnbs in the bigger cities. But
absolutely.
Yeah, maybe we could get, like Lyft or something along with those Airbnbs.
Which I think the Leadership Academy through the Chamber is working on Lyft and Uber currently as well.
Really? I did not know that.
Yes.
Well, obviously it's a need because getting a ride in Moorhead is next to impossible. So it'll be good to see those going up. Now, you guys did some executive session stuff, and that has to do with property and any kind of personnel issues that may be going. Obviously, we can't talk about those here for legal reasons. But I wanted to see, is there any discussion about what's happening with police, the police and fire station? You know, there was a lot of talk about it last year, but we haven't really heard about anything recently.
So we currently still do not own the property that we have been looking at on 60. So I'm working with the state to kind of find out where we are in that process and a timeline for when we can acquire that property. That's our biggest obstacle to start with. Once we have property, then we can really start getting things in motion for that facility.
Well, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic today. I really appreciate you, Laura White-Brown, Mayor of Moorhead, joining me.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all on Friday.